Good morning. This is Daniel Cobb, doctor of oriental medicine, and welcome to my radio show, Natural Medicine. I've been a doctor of oriental medicine for about 10 years, published articles in the Well-Being Journal, Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, and I have articles posted to the Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine webpage. Over the past 4 years, I've taught anatomy and physiology at various professional schools in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. We love to have call-in questions, and the call-in phone number is 505-424-4550. Today, I have with me in the studio Bree Thompson, and she is going to tell us a story about her Crohn's disease. Just a little background on Crohn's disease. It's an inflammatory bowel disease, sometimes described as an autoimmune condition, with digestive disturbances, diarrhea, constipation, and usually a lot of pain. It tends to be treated accordingly with immune suppressants and with anti-inflammatories and pain medications. And it's typically viewed in conventional circles as a disease that has no cure, that it's a disease that is managed and is expected to continue for the entire, for the rest of a person's life. And now, Bree, give us some of your history here that leads into having Crohn's disease.
Sure. Well, I grew up in New York, but I grew up on an apple orchard. And growing up, we ate a lot of apples that probably had a ton of pesticides on them. And, turns out that both my best friend and my sister have the same kind of disease. So going through my life, I guess you'd say, is, started there and then went into working with kids with preschool in San Francisco and gradually...
Just for additional background.
Sure.
At that point at which, as a child and even working in preschool in San Francisco...
Sure.
You didn't have Crohn's disease yet.
No. Okay. I didn't discover that I had Crohn's disease until I was about 27.
Okay. Just keep going.
Sure. And so, I've always worked with kids and low stress, I guess you'd say, environments. And then once I went to college, everything, pretty much got a little more stressful. And I began to work with chemicals such as, different photo processes, working as a screen printer and such. So at that point, I started to get really horrible pains, couldn't hold anything down, and this just kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And went to all different types of specialists and doctors, and at first they thought that it was a hernia, which there was no proof of that, and so I had to go to all these doctors, and they would, they had no clue, really. So all these different CAT scans and testings and finally came down to, they told me I had Crohn's disease, so.
Okay. And they actually did, CAT scans and MRIs, and they would actually have a basis for saying, unlike they didn't have a basis for the hernia,
sure.
They actually had a basis for saying Crohn's disease.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
They showed me pictures that I was just blown away by, that I just couldn't understand that was me. Uh-huh. When I looked at the CAT scans and all the different tests they'd come back with. But exposure to high levels of stress, it definitely made it come on strong.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
From that point...
But there was some evidence, even in the couple years before, that maybe there was a little digestive
weakness. Like my stomach would hurt here and there. you know, just, you know, little things would hurt and I didn't understand it. You know, I just have an upset stomach. But then
it got much worse.
Oh, yeah. It
got under to the high stress.
Definitely. Okay. And it definitely got to a point where I couldn't eat. The slightest bit of food would just not work out. And it was just horrible.
And you actually ended up in the hospital several times.
Yeah, I went to the hospital a lot. And nobody seemed to ever know what to do with me.
By that time, they pretty much agreed, yeah, this is a digestive problem. It's Crohn's disease.
But sure.
They knew exactly what it was, but they couldn't tell you what to do about it to make it go away.
Exactly. And that's a scary thing when somebody's telling you, we have no idea how to help you, you know? And I would ask them about different, I purposely went to a Chinese doctor. And I was thinking, he knows, you know, he's going to help me, you know, because I really am.
Because you wanted something that was a little bit out of the mainstream.
Exactly.
Mainstream was coming up with a consistent, we don't know.
Exactly. And I'm just more drawn to Eastern philosophies. And so he told me that acupuncture wouldn't help me, you know, and that. The only way this is going to be maintained is through taking the medicine I give you, you know, and continue all these tests and things like that. And I hate taking medicine and I hate, you know, I'm not the one that just enjoys to go through a CAT scan and all those things. I don't like it. It freaks me out. So I tried everything from that point.
For how long did you go through the series of trying to live, trying to eat when you could?
For about 6 years.
About 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and occasionally you'd end up in the hospital.
Yeah.
And they'd run a lot of tests, mm-hmm. and do some kind of a scan and tell you the same thing that they'd always told you before.
Sure.
You got Crohn's disease. We don't know how to help you.
Yeah, it got to a point where I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like, go to the hospital, get morphine, and then they're going to send you to the CAT scan. I mean, it was like,
you could have walked exactly what was going to happen. You could have just walked down the hall and said, oh, I'll just get myself.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could have told the doctors what to do.
Okay,
like,
now's the morphine. And then we'll go to the CAT scan.
Totally.
And then you'll do the blood tests.
Yes.
And then you'll tell me there's nothing you can do for
me. Exactly. And that's the end result every single time. Every single time. We don't know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'm one to do my own research. So I would look online and like, everywhere you go, all the different sites, no one knows. There's even sites for people to kind of, you know, get together and talk,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like blogs and such.
Right.
And even there, you know, there's no help. There's no answers.
And among your sisters, your mm-hmm. sister and your best friend,
mm-hmm.
who has the worst case? Who had the worst case? Was it you or was it?
It's between me and my, well, I don't know. We all, you know, it's
okay.
All pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We all got the same, you know, incredible pain where, you know, your eyes roll back in your head and you're just, you have no idea why this is happening.
And sort
you know,
compare the level of pain.
To childbirth. I had a baby 2 years ago and I could tell you that it's worse than birth.
Worse than childbirth.
Yeah.
Okay. And And in the course of these hospital visits, I remember there was, when we discussed, there was one that was particularly bad where you usually describe yourself as, you know, couldn't eat certain foods. And when you're really sick, you can't eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one visit, you couldn't even drink water.
Yeah. Water hurt. Jello hurt.
Uh-huh.
Everything. I mean,
uh-huh.
I don't know. It was very scary.
So for much of this 6 years, not all of it, but for much of it, how much of the time were you sick?
Every day.
Every day.
Every single day.
Right. It was just a question of when it got really bad,
yeah,
then you'd end up in the hospital.
Sure. I would be sent to the hospital when the doctor would call, freaking out, say that they found an abscess on the CAT scan.
Uh-huh.
But until that, every single day I had to work with the pain.
Mm-hmm. And this was pain. Did you routinely take painkillers of some kind?
Did
you learn to live with
it? I learned to live with it because it didn't. I felt that the painkillers made my stomach worse.
Yes. Most painkillers will irritate the stomach and the intestinal tract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So given that that's where your problem was, that was a pretty good sharp call on your part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, we're going to go to a break. And we're going to come back in a few minutes talking more about Crohn's disease. This is Daniel Kopp, Dr. of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. We're here in the studio with Bree Thompson, who's got an interesting story to tell us about Crohn's disease. The call-in phone number, in case you want to give us a call, 505-424-4550, and we love those call-in questions. Now, Bree, so during this time, one of the things that the doctors also did that we didn't mention yet is give you a prognosis. You know, what should you expect your future to look like? Why don't you give us a few comments about that?
Sure. Being in the hospital, they would come over to the bedside and just explain to me what was in store for the rest of my life. And it was pretty much talking about surgery.
And the surgery would remove the abscesses or remove what?
Sure, that we could go ahead and look at what parts of the intestine were really horribly inflamed, and we could take those pieces out.
Okay.
But you only have so much of your intestine that...
So you can't just take the whole thing out.
No. But they would forewarn me that my future led to a colostomy bag.
Okay.
That if we kept taking pieces out at such a young age, by the time I got old, I was destined for that colostomy bag, and I would have no intestines left.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you would still have pain, right? I mean, you have just enough intestinal left to still have some pain.
Sure, and that's what they would tell me, that Crohn's disease is not just in one spot. It kind of spreads throughout your whole intestine. So if they take out the one part that's infected, it moves to the rest of the intestine. So it's you don't really cure it by just taking part of your intestine
surgery
out. Yeah.
Right. So that wasn't a really thrilling process.
No. So I had to try to look into it myself and realize that, well, maybe I can help myself through what I ate, you know, and try to change my...
Right, and change maybe your stress level.
Definitely.
Because it was clear to you that, you know, what you were doing at that point was pretty stressful.
Sure.
And at some point, you made a big move.
I did. I quit my job.
And this was in New York.
Yes, where I had insurance.
Right.
And then I quit my job, and knowing that, okay, well, now I'm going to have less stress, but now I have no insurance.
Uh-huh.
So now what do I do? Because the way that the doctors all make it as though you must have insurance with this disease. It's kind of like if you have diabetes, you better have insurance.
Yeah, because one of those hospital visits,
if
you had to pay for it on your own, would have set you, you know, put you in debt for...
For life.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, without insurance, my medication would have cost $800. And I would go through
$800 per bottle or $800 per day? Or
per bottle.
Per bottle. Okay.
Per bottle of medicine.
And then how many bottles in a month or two?
At least once. One bottle in a month.
Okay.
So definitely my prescriptions were per month.
Okay.
And so anyway, so then I quit my job and moved out to Colorado and decided, hey, here I am in Colorado. Let's start thinking about eating organically. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to not eat the things that would hurt me so much as far as, you know, I couldn't eat too many fibrous things. So that was kind of hard, you know, because everyone, you know, as far as nutrition,
right.
They tell you to eat healthy, but the healthy things hurt me.
Uh-huh.
So it was really hard because you're, you know, trying to keep your nutrition up, but you're told, you know.
Yeah, don't, you know, stay away from those things.
Yeah, exactly.
And fiber is some of the things that we think of as helping us to clean out the intestines.
Exactly. So that's how I would explain it to people when they would say, well, what can you eat? What can't you eat? And I said, well, I can't eat anything that, like, clears your system, you know, like anything fibrous. So it's, and then they'd be like, well, what, you know? So that means no red meat, no, you know, raw vegetables.
Actually, red meat isn't so fibrous. Well
in terms it didn't
of
work for me.
Residual, right, but red meat probably was, and red meat was a terrible thing, right?
Oh, that was like the number one.
Right.
Wouldn't even attempt to eat red meat.
Yeah, but other things like green beans, peas.
Mm-hmm. Mushrooms.
Mushrooms, okay. Oh.
And sprouts, forget it.
Oh,
no way.
Okay.
Things like that, as soon as they touched my mouth, like as soon as they went down, it was just bad news. So,
so you
not to eat those.
It went to more organic foods.
Sure.
Being more careful about what you're eating to avoid the foods that would set you off.
Mm-hmm.
And how well did this work?
Well,
now, and also you de-stressed your life. You didn't have the stressful kind of job you had in New York.
Right.
Okay, so those three improvements made a difference.
They did make a difference, but Crohn's still affected me. It would go more to, instead of every single day, it would go to, you know, a good week out of the month.
Uh-huh.
So every month.
Okay. So you'd, instead of, because you didn't have the insurance,
right.
This would be time spent in bed at home.
Yes.
And pretty much non-functional.
Yes.
I mean, you're in a lot of pain. And then after 4, 5, 6 days a week or so, you can get back up. Maybe there's a little pain, but you can start to function again.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're careful, maybe you can, you know, another month before something happens.
Yeah.
But pretty reliably once a month, something nailed you.
Definitely. And if I ate something in between then. It would happen some
okay.
more.
So it could happen more than one time a month.
Oh, yeah.
If you weren't that careful.
Right.
Okay. And during this time, you were doing mostly art jobs,
mm-hmm.
and you were working mostly at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty convenient because the prospect of doing a 9-to-5 job when unpredictably you might suddenly be sick for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, days in a row, that would certainly make your 9-to-5 schedule ripped apart.
Right.
So you'd, you know, be sick when you're sick, try to make up for it by doing a lot of work when you're well.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of worked.
It
okay.
did.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, you got pregnant.
I did.
And what was the effect on the Crohn's disease of the pregnancy?
It went away. As soon as I was pregnant, all of the symptoms went away. So
okay, and my note said there was during the entire pregnancy, there was only one flare up.
Right, there was one flare up.
And it probably
in the
wasn't
beginning.
As bad as your normal.
Not
was.
At all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think at this point we're going to go to another break, and we're going to come back and talk about. After the pregnancy. This is Daniel Kopp, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. The call-in phone number, in case you have a call-in question, is 505-424-9527. We're here in the studio with Bree Thompson, and we're talking about her interesting story about Crohn's disease. So you were in Colorado. And after your pregnancy, and during the pregnancy, it was almost free from Crohn's disease symptoms. Mm-hmm. One flare-up wasn't so bad. What happened after the pregnancy?
Well, during the pregnancy, I made sure that I didn't take any of my drugs for mm-hmm. Crohn's disease because I just felt, I don't know, I wanted to be the all-natural mom, uh-huh. you know, try the all-natural birth, you know, and
makes so, a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I definitely stopped all of the drugs, and after the pregnancy, after I had gave birth, I continued to not take that medicine anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I felt better than I ever did uh-huh. because of that.
Okay.
You know?
What about the Crohn's symptoms after the pregnancy?
Well, they came back, but again, only once a month, you know. Uh-huh.
So about the same Crohn's symptoms as before the
sure.
pregnancy, except you felt better because the drugs didn't have their side effects.
Exactly.
Okay. And at some point, there was an additional physical problem that started to pop up.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I started to get this rash on my forearms and my neck, and I had no idea where it came from. I thought it was a food allergy, so I kind of started to pick apart what I was eating, make sure I was not eating the wrong thing, and during that time, we decided to move to Santa Fe, here in Santa Fe, and mm-hmm. it continued.
Yeah. Did it, and it about the same, or did it?
It got worse.
Got worse.
And it got to a breaking point where I decided, okay, well, what's the next step? I need
yeah.
to go to somebody that
knows.
Yeah, I got to try something, and I got to go to somebody that yeah. knows what they're doing. So that's where I met.
Okay.
Went with you.
And just to be fair, you know, she said, "Oh, we got to find somebody who knows what they're doing." I'd mentioned that. I thought I might be able to treat the Crohn's disease,
mm-hmm.
but I'd never treated Crohn's disease before.
Mm-hmm.
So I at least qualified for one of those.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And so we met, and the first thing I was looking for is you know, I was looking at this as probably, you know, instead of a disease of, you know, autoimmune inflammation and pain, I'm looking at this as a disease of nutritional deficiencies, toxic accumulations, and energy blockages. So the first thing that I went for was energy blockages, and I was looking at various reflexes on the leg. And you know, looked at the, and when I said, you know, I'll bet you the large intestine reflex might be pretty reactive. So I did some work on the large intestine reflex, and how did that feel?
Incredibly painful. Horrible. It's just a giant ping of pain.
And this is a location on your leg. For those who know anatomy, iliotibial band is what I was associating with the large intestine. And any clue that this area on your body would be incredibly painful?
Not at all. I had no idea.
Okay, so you're walking around with those legs for 30 years.
Yeah.
And there was this incredibly painful thing going on that you never really knew about.
Definitely.
Okay. Now... there's also some, you know, I started gradually to address the what I thought might be nutritional deficiencies and toxic accumulations. And within the first week or so, I think I tried to get you to take, I'd already gotten you to take Lugol solution and possibly vitamin C. And vitamin D, but I think I added The tocopherols, the mixed tocopherols type of vitamin E, and a kind of clay. And clay is something that can absorb a lot of toxicity. And this is something some people think of clay. Oh yeah, clay packs. Put it on the skin. Treat the skin that way. But really, this was to be taken orally. So it was about a half a teaspoon or so. Mm-hmm. And you started taking that clay. And how did things progress, you know, within the first week or so?
So I was expecting it to all affect me the first night. And it actually took about 2 days. And I got really sick.
And you continued.
Nauseous.
I showed you how to work on the points on, you know, the large intestine reflex, and you continued to do this.
I did. Okay. After every shower.
Okay.
While, you know, my body was, I guess, warm, so I would kind of make it a massage. And yeah, I got sick the first week. And then
after a couple of days, you got really sick.
Oh yeah. Super nauseous. Just vomiting, yeah.
Okay.
It's got it all out.
How long?
I guess like 3 days or so.
And now, this, you know, somebody who's been sick, and then you get treated, and then you get sick, you might think, well, that didn't help.
Right. But this was a different sick. It felt different. It wasn't pain. There wasn't pain from Crohn's. It was a normal vomit. As if you had the flu, like, you know, you just, the nauseous and flu.
So the Crohn's disease isn't so much nausea.
No,
it's
pain.
It's a lot of pain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Incredible
so this
pain.
This was a different feeling.
Definitely.
And so that allowed you to think, okay, this isn't just provoking the Crohn's disease. This is something else.
Definitely, yep.
And we'd actually talked about toxicity. And maybe you figured out that when toxicity comes out, it's no fun.
Right.
Okay. So at least it fell within the boundaries of what we might have discussed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were thinking, well, okay, this might work. And after that first, you know, week or so, how did things, were there any significant changes?
Yeah, it was incredible. The one thing that I must mention is when I did the massaging, I had a strange sensation, pain in my back.
Uh-huh.
It's like the lower back, and I didn't understand what that was.
And I think you asked me about that.
Yeah, I did.
And I said it might be that your kidneys are hurting, because when you're doing the massaging, you might be releasing enough toxicity that it might be challenging your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, drinking a little more water, flush the kidneys a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
But keep going. Then after about a week or so, changes.
All of my itching symptoms, all of the rash went away completely.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I almost forgot about it.
And this went from itching to the point where you couldn't even concentrate.
Where you're drawing blood. You're like scratching and bleeding.
Okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right.
So that went away completely. And then I noticed, wow, I haven't had a Crohn's flare in a while. What's going on? You know.
And then we talk again, and I added maybe a few more things. I suggested that I added some acetyl glutathione, okay, which is a real strong detoxifier. Okay, it's a stabilized version of glutathione that really helps detoxification procedures, and I also suggest that you take a half to a teaspoon a day of coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell me more. Do you think that those I mean, it's sort of hard to differentiate between one thing, you know, producing a benefit and something else. But did you notice anything about those additions?
Well, I know that, first of all, cooking with coconut oil smells delicious and it tastes delicious. You can taste it on everything you make if you love coconut. Mm-hmm. And it just, it made everything smoother. You know, if you cook with oil or butter, it just doesn't work so well with Crohn's. Uh-huh. Like it kind of upsets your stomach. So definitely coconut oil was a lot.
Okay.
It was helpful.
Okay.
And
so then, you know, the Crohn's flare-ups are doing what?
They're gone.
They're gone. But you're thinking, okay, they've been gone for maybe 3-4 weeks at a time.
Right.
Or even during pregnancy for longer. So you're thinking, okay, well we'll see how long they're gone for.
Right. It was unbelievable.
Right. And you saw me for the first time in the first of early part of November.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just continued to, you know, do this routine, take these nutrients, do the massaging on the reflexes, on the legs.
Mm-hmm.
And did you continue to have the pains in the low back, or did those go away too?
No, that went away. That was just a one-time.
Okay. One-time thing.
One-time thing.
Okay. And then at some point, things are popping into your mind like, I wonder if this is really gone.
Exactly. So I tried to test it.
Okay. So you go out and say, well, let's go try to make the bad thing happen.
That's exactly what I did. I was like, all right, well, let's try to eat some meat. I haven't had meat in 6 years.
But not just meat. You know, the way I've heard you describe it is the red meat's the worst.
Oh, yeah, red
okay,
meat.
Okay, so eating a little chicken would be sort of a halfway step.
Oh, yeah, no,
but
no.
You but went.
I went for the.
You went all out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this was about, what, a week and a half ago or?
Yeah, something like that. It's
okay.
About 2 weeks ago, and I ate.
And you
ate
went out.
Beef.
You went out to a restaurant.
I did.
And you had a, what was it?
I had a big giant burger, and and I thought.
The results of eating that big burger were.
Nothing happened,
and so you're thinking about that. And what were you thinking?
That this must not be real meat.
And you're
like,
mad.
Oh,
you're mad at the restaurant because they gave you the. They said they were feeding you beef, but they couldn't have been.
Exactly. That's how I felt. Normally, if I would have even just tasted, like, just a bite of red meat would have sent me to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
So this was unbelievable.
To eat a whole big burger.
Yeah, a whole big burger with onions and mushrooms on it.
Right. It couldn't have been. Couldn't have been real beef.
No.
So they must have, you're mad at them for.
Something happened. So then I went and I got grass-fed beef. And we made it at home, and still nothing happened. So then I was super excited, and of course my husband was super excited. So we had meat all week, and nothing happened still. So and I've been testing it ever since. And last night had peas.
Right. Well, I remember, you know, you tell me about the beef, and saying, but I don't know what's going to happen if I have peas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point we have to go to another break, and then we'll come back for our last segment.
Okay.
This is Daniel Kopp, Dr. of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine, where we're talking with Bree Thompson about an amazing story about her Crohn's disease. In case you have call-in questions, the call-in number is 505-424-4550. I also want to give my clinic number, which is 505-424-9527. So, Bree, even last night, you were still challenging the Crohn's disease. You went out and you had what foods that you didn't quite know about yet? Peas. And peas were some of those, one of those things that, strangely enough, would set you off in a big way in the past.
Definitely.
And you hadn't had any peas yet.
No. That was the ultimate challenge.
The night before the radio show, peas.
I did.
I'm thinking, maybe you might come in here not feeling too good the next day.
I was kind of scared about it, but I did it anyway. I was like, what if I mess up the whole thing?
You don't want to tell everybody, hey, here's the cure for Crohn's disease, but if you don't really know what's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the result?
I'm fine. No problem today.
No problem whatsoever. So what I want to do is I want to give my summary here is that Crohn's disease is a disease that, from the conventional viewpoint, is an autoimmune condition that causes a lot ulcerations, inflammation, a lot of inflammation, and results in a lot of pain. And so appropriately, the conventional people suppress the immune system, suppress inflammation, and give a lot of painkillers. And the result of that treatment is the disease doesn't go away. It's expected to stick around for the rest of your life. And it is also expected to progress, and slowly, but progress to the point where sections of the intestines need to be surgically removed and possibly resulting in a colostomy bag. Okay. Now, my approach, and admittedly, this is my first case of Crohn's disease I've ever treated, but my approach, and probably the approach of other holistic physicians, is that instead we'll look at this as a disease of nutritional deficiencies, toxic accumulation, such as from the pesticides in the apple orchard and the chemicals from the screen printing, and energy blockages, possibly related to emotional upset. And we'll try to address that with nutritional supplementation, food choices, with certain detoxification methods, and methods to address the energetic blockages, which could have a direct effect on the intestinal tract. And of course, in this case, the result wasn't a gradual progression with, once a month flare-ups and eventual ending in a colostomy bag. The result was, about 2 months later, it appears the disease is entirely gone. So now, Bree, why don't you give us some of your summary?
Sure. Well, the way that I see it is it's organically turned into this epiphany of me realizing that this disease is 50% my emotions and the other toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like finally I've reached this point that I was able to look at those two things and see that I needed to look at my childhood, all of the emotions attached, and how I handle my emotions. Because to me, I feel that disease comes from blocked energy, and mm-hmm. I really connect with Eastern philosophies mm-hmm. in that sense, where I feel like, now that I finally looked at those emotions, and now that we've done body work and physically tried to release those emotions, it's almost as though your body naturally heals itself once you've let those mm-hmm. blockages free. Uh-huh. And I feel like now, if there's anyone out there that has Crohn's disease, that give it a try. Look at your emotions,
right,
and then try to work on the toxins. Like, right, what have you been exposed to? And just, give
toxic,
it a chance.
Not only toxic chemicals, but toxic thoughts.
Thoughts, people around you. Like, uh-huh. I mean, I feel like I've unfolded into this, new person, because it's just, I released a lot. And, taking all the different vitamins and just putting good things in, mm-hmm. letting go of the bad things. And it's just, it's incredible. It's absolutely mm-hmm. unbelievable still, you know?
And, you know, this is, like I said, this is my first case of Crohn's disease. I didn't expect it to be this quick or this easy. Mm. We probably had the equivalent of about 3 visits mm-hmm. together. And the amount of things, the amount of money that was spent on the supplements that I asked you to, was probably certainly less than $100.
Oh, yeah. Less
okay.
than.
Mm-hmm. And the time spent from start to finish was a little bit less, on the order of about 2 months.
Yep.
So that even if somebody said, I don't know if this will work, you know, the question is it worth about $100 plus a couple of office visits and 2 months of your effort to see if it will work? Well, I think that's I would think that if somebody is, you know, going through the kind of thing that you experienced, that the answer would be yes.
I agree.
Now, I'd once again, I want to give the clinic phone number, 505-424-9527. And we're getting close to being out of time. So I want to thank everybody that that is listening out there for tuning into the show. And I also especially want to thank Bree Thompson for joining me on the show today. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
All right. And okay, I guess we're...